and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This is the gospel of the Lord. Judy, I almost wanted to applaud you after that reading. You did so well. The Pentecost one is always that's a tough one. But she did wonderfully, didn't she?
Yes.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Throughout the ages, my brothers and sisters, the church's focus has rightly been upon her Lord and upon the Holy Cross, upon his passion. And this is not passion in the sense of, like, you know, the way we use the word today, like intense emotion, right? This is passion in the sense of agony, passion in the sense of suffering on the cross for our salvation. Whenever the church has, through the ages, lost sight of the Holy Cross, things do not go well for us. And I'll give you just a few examples, right? The Crusades. Whoops. What about priests and bishops contending for secular power, right? Worldly power. What about indulgences? Works righteousness, right? Not good things for the Christian people. The Christian people's attention and focus and hope is directed toward one thing. The same thing that our Lord was focused on when he entered into the holy city, going down to Jerusalem, and that one thing is the cross. But it is the case that every single one of us, and especially those receiving Holy Confirmation today, have to make sure that we know the full meaning of the cross of Jesus Christ. Not just that it's the door, the altar through which God offered up his life for our life, but also that he has given the Holy Cross to each and every one of us. If anyone would come after me, he says, he must do what? Take up his cross and follow after me. Daily follow after me. This is to say that one must, absolutely must, intimately know the cross of Jesus Christ, right? That is, if you're going to call yourself a Christian. If not, fine. But if you're going to call yourself a Christian, you must know the cross and what it means. The whole meaning of the cross of Jesus involves not just the death of Christ, it involves also those who have been died for. It marks us forever. We are forever marked with the cross of our Savior. That's why even the earliest Christians made the sign of the Holy Cross on their bodies to say, I belong to Jesus Christ, right? I am his. I do not belong to the world and I do not belong to Satan. I belong to Jesus. The cross, then, my brethren, is the focal point. And it's the lens through which we see and interpret everything else in this world. Because we look at the world now knowing that God has loved it and loves it so much that he is willing to die for it. And that he has done just that in his son Jesus. God has bought us with the price of his own blood. And I'm telling you, that had better change your outlook on this world, and everything about your life needs to be formed and molded and conformed to that fact, that pivotal fact in the course of human history, that God has entered into our world, taken on our flesh, and has shed our blood for you. If that does not change your outlook on everything, you need to pinch yourself and make sure that you're still alive. Because the cross of Jesus changes everything. Changes everything. Right? Bread and wine. Bread and wine are now manna come down out of heaven. The very body of God given to you. The beggar that you pass on the side of the road becomes an opportunity to gaze into the eyes of Jesus himself. What about death? What about death? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Where is it? Because for you, O saints of God, death is nothing more than the gate to eternal life. The cross is to always be at the fore and not only of our hearts, but also of our minds. We are to, as the hymn says, survey the wondrous cross. But what does that mean? It means to meditate on the Holy Cross, to think on the Holy Cross, to think on what Christ has done through the Holy Cross. So, the second thing that the cross is, it is our refuge. The cross of Christ is our refuge. I mean, I can't imagine that there is one person here today who has not sought refuge in the cross of Jesus. You probably would not be here right now if you had not done exactly that. I know I wouldn't. I know I would not be standing here before you today, preaching to you, for goodness sakes. No way. Brothers and sisters, cling always to the cross. Hold on to the cross. Prostrate yourselves at the foot of the cross. Throw your arms around it for dear life, because your life is dear. Don't you know that it was purchased at the cost of God's own blood? Don't ever think that your life is not dear. A price that is spattered, by the way, all over that cross and runs into the ground of Golgotha. Thirdly, the cross is used as a weapon. And the church does use it as a weapon. We do. I mean, how many times have we in our lives stood right here at the baptismal font, participated in the baptismal rite, and prayed that all satanic powers flee before the cross? As the pastor makes the sign of the cross in the waters, which he does. Because as I said last week, we are at war. We are at war. The cross is the thing that we use in exorcisms. The cross is mighty, mighty against evil. It is a sure weapon in the hour of temptation and trial. As I mentioned earlier, from the very earliest times, Christians experiencing temptation, Christians experiencing the onslaught of Satan, have made the sign of the cross on their body, right? Right here above the brow. Right? You see me do that during the creed. I usually do it at the brow. Right? The traditional German way, at least I was taught this in seminary, I think it's right. The traditional German way to make the sign of the cross is, you see me do this during the announcing of the gospel, right? Here on the brow, on the lips, and on the heart. Right? You've maybe seen me do that. Right? And just so you know, you can do that too. Right? You can pray with me the same prayer that I pray in my soul when I do that. The Lord be in my mind, on my lips. And where? In my heart. Right? This is the way that Luther did it every day of his life until he died. Right? It's the way that we bless ourselves. Right? The catechisms, this is the way we make the sign of the cross and we bless ourselves. Right? It's not like, especially nowadays, it's not like we don't need to be blessed, right, in what we've called by God to do, been called by him to do. We need his blessing. We need the blessing of the cross. And the work of Jesus Christ on that cross is indeed a weapon against the devil. And so we hold high in our hearts, in our minds, the cross as both our focal point, our refuge, and our weapon, strong against the forces of evil. Now, those of you who are being confirmed today, look at me. I'm talking to you. You are about to be driven deeper into the cross of Jesus Christ. You are to be hammered. You are to be fastened to it by the Holy Spirit. The call to faith, my brethren, is the call of the Holy Spirit. It is the call to pick up the Holy Cross and to follow Jesus. No matter what, the Spirit's work is to always point you to Christ. It's to always drive you deeper into the passion, into the death of Christ. Through the laying on of hands, the Holy Spirit is to give you his sevenfold gifts, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and piety, the Spirit of holy fear, or all, right, in the law, Lord. All in the Lord, in his presence. Now, it's that gift of might, right, the gift of might that is the one that I think has the most to do with the Holy Cross. Right, the gift of might is also called fortitude, is also called courage. Right, it's also called courage. And along with being one of the sevenfold gifts of the Spirit, is one of the four cardinal virtues. It is the gift that is given to and cultivated in the martyrs. Right? That they would suffer all things, even death, rather than to not deny Jesus Christ, to deny the Christian religion. That they would stand against even all of the forces of hell and die rather than renounce the Lord. That's the gift of courage, the gift of might. It's like steel-clad armor, right? Steel-clad armor that God clothes us with and makes us a mighty warrior of God. If you are going to bear the name of Jesus Christ, and I speak this to those being confirmed today and everyone else who is baptized here. If you are going to be a Christian, it is all or it is nothing. Now hear that. It is all or it's nothing. Jesus Christ will not just have part of you. He won't just have one aspect of your life and let the rest of it go to Satan. It is all or it's nothing. You will serve but one master, not two. You will serve the one who showed forth his power and his might in bleeding and dying for you. Bleeding and dying to have you as his own, to rescue back from Satan and all of the powers of evil. None of this, you know, first world, well, I've got too much to do, so maybe I'll get up tomorrow and worship you, right? Maybe I'll get up and go to divine service tomorrow, Jesus. Maybe, or maybe, you know, I'll live my life like you love me and died for me. Maybe, Maybe today I will, but maybe not tomorrow, right? That is not what the Christian life looks like. That is not what you are agreeing to here today. You know, try to tell that nonsense, that garbage to the martyrs crying out from the throne of God. Right? Try to tell that to them. Right? Warriors don't think that way. Warriors don't think that way. Now you gotta trim the fat. You gotta trim sin out of your life. You gotta get in shape. There's a war going on all around you. And I pray to God that you have the eyes to see it. Because a lot of people don't. The justification, that was easy for our part. Right? Christ did that for you. He made you righteous before God. The hard part is living in faithfulness to Jesus. And doing it in a world that is going to be violently hostile towards you, because it will. You need to remember that. Remember what I'm saying to you today. It will be hostile to you. If you are going to confess the name of Jesus before men, the world will be hostile to you. It will hate you just as it hated our Lord. And it's going to be hard. God knows we know this. Older Christians know this. It's hard. Living a life of repentance, it's hard. Denying yourself and saying, not my will, Father, but your will be done. That's hard, right? That sounds easy. It sounds easy when I'm saying it. It's hard when your passions flare up and the sin that you are so given to, Satan uses against you. It's hard. It's hard. Anyone who's ever said that Christianity is easy hasn't really been one. And anyone who's ever told you that Christianity is just about being nice and being pleasant and being a good person even, either didn't know what they were talking about or they just flat out lied to you. There was ever only one truly good person that walked the face of the earth, and we nailed him to a tree. The Christian religion, my brothers and sisters, it is about that man, and it is about his cross. Now, there will inevitably be a time that this gift of might, this gift of courage, is going to be put to the test. The very present and very pervasive satanic forces all around us will test the strength of your armor. And they will test the resolve of the character of the one wearing it, in both of you. They will test you. And they're clever and they're cunning in such a way that you probably won't even recognize them for what they are. Not speaking up for someone who is being bullied or picked on. How many times have we seen that? Being asked to skip out on Jesus' presence at this divine service for what? A game? Or, right, we were talking about this in Sunday school, or because you might have company in town, or something equally as trivial that doesn't even compare to the majesty and the glory of Christ present for you here as he promised to be. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of times, it's not so. We don't receive this from forces so dark, so demonic and malevolent that seek to pull you away from the confession of the faith. Like, we like to blame everything on the devil, right? A lot of times, though, it's those people who we love and who we trust that bring evil before us. God help those who lead the least of Jesus' little ones astray. Whether it be the devil, whether it be your family, whether it be your friends, whether it be any number of other things, when it happens, and it most certainly will, and it will happen often, you must follow Christ. You must choose Christ. My daughters, don't ever choose Satan. You must choose Christ. Satan is a liar, and he will devour you, because that's what he wants to do. But you, beloved of the Lord, you belong to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that you belong to him. You have been purchased at so high a price, the price even of the blood of God that has been shed for you. Being confirmed Christians, it demands all of you. Right? Again, not a part, not just an aspect of your life, all of you. It demands that you behave and conduct your life in a different way than the rest of this world because of who you belong to. And it means that the Holy Cross is more fully yours now. And it's not for the weak-willed, and it's not for the lazy. For Christ's sake, run the race. For Christ's sake, fight. Rise and let us go from here. In Jesus' name.